We are moving down to Ngaitahu here to talk with Sam Keller, who is the general manager of the Whairawa scheme. Now, Whairawa is a medium to long-term savings program which was set up by Ngaitahu in 2006, and it's providing a vehicle for distributions to eligible whānau, encouraging savings for home ownership, education and retirement, and growing financial capability. This year, they have around 32,000 members in this scheme, 123 million funds under management, and over $25 million collectively withdrawn by whānau towards their home ownership, education, and retirement. So that's the scheme. Sam is from Te Reo Ngā Moeraki and Taumutu, and he has a Bachelor of Commerce degree from Canterbury Uni, where he majored in economics. He's the general manager of the Whairawa Fund. Thanks for joining us on the program, Sam. Kia ora tēnei. Nau mai, hoa, kia ora.
Kia ora, it's great to be here. Thanks very much.
Good to talk with you, Sam. Look, we made contact with you because we've been talking about the Retirement Commission, who have had some observations about Māori saving, or indeed not preparing well enough for the golden years, if we can call it that, Sam. So we wanted to also counteract that with some of the moves that we were aware of, including Whairawa, which was trying to address that when it was set up, 15, 16 years back now. And I just wondered if you might update us on, I mean, I mentioned some figures, perhaps you could give us a clearer picture. Give us an update on how it is working and whether those involved in Whairawa also have KiwiSaver and also conscious of other vehicles that might prepare better for the latter years. Just take the stage for a moment and tell us more about Whairawa, where it stands at the moment, please, Sam.
Yeah, of course. I mean, your introduction was really, really spot on, so thanks for that, firstly. So as you correctly pointed out, Whairawa was set up in 2006. So I think we've just had our 16th birthday, actually, which is fantastic. And we like to think we're kind of a bit ahead of the time, actually. So we were set up actually before KiwiSaver was even set up. And Whairawa does have the kind of look and feel of the KiwiSaver scheme, but it is different. It does have some key points of difference. A key one really is it does have a whānau focus. So, you know, the ways we kind of communicate with our whānau or our members are, you know, really kind of centric to kind of what speaks to them, I think. You know, KiwiSaver does have a bit of a kind of one-size kind of needs-to-fit-all kind of feel, but it doesn't necessarily work for everyone. And people can be a bit overwhelmed by kind of the language that they kind of receive from the KiwiSaver providers and, you know, all those types of things. And some key differences we have to KiwiSaver are that there is a retirement withdrawal, but it's actually from the age of 55, so a little bit younger, so 10 years younger, which we think works, you know, better for our members. Also, we have a tertiary education withdrawal as well, and there's also first home, which you had touched on. So it's all really just geared up to help our whānau achieve their objectives. And a lot of them will have a KiwiSaver scheme as well, as you've mentioned. I don't have the exact numbers around that, but there's a high proportion that do. And I think Whairawa's contributed to that as well. It's just got them thinking about financial literacy, often from a young age. In fact, we have a kids club, which is called Ngā Kaitiaki Moni, which actually we've won an award for recently at the Financial Services Council, and the award was for improving consumer outcomes. So one of our key beliefs is that we just need to, you know, target our members from a young age, and it's going to often be newborn members. In fact, and this really trying to instill kind of key principles of financial literacy, you know, just things they just need to be aware of. Like that needs to be a journey. It's not just kind of something you can just, you know, do overnight. So, yeah, so I think it's been really, obviously I'm biased, but I think it's been, you know, really successful scheme, and just, you know, and we're really just geared towards helping our whānau, which is, I think, really awesome. So, yeah, I don't know if that helps, but I'm happy to answer any other questions as well.
Yeah, good on you, Sam. Well, I mean, for a start, what sticks out is access to the fund at 55 rather than 65. Yeah. And I know that KiwiSaver is used as a base pool for many who are getting into their first homes. KiwiSaver perhaps differs because your employer stumps up DOSH too. What's the story here? How effectively does Whairawa work? Are you managing whānau members' monies, or is there something coming out of a middle pool to complement their efforts?
Yeah, that's a good question, and that's one of the key differences as well that we have to KiwiSaver. So there's no kind of compulsion around employer contributions like there is in KiwiSaver. But what we do have, though, is Ngā Tahu. Well, there's a few things, actually. So one, if you do join as a newborn member, we pay a distribution to members of $100. We also have something which we call matched savings. So our tamariki and our whānau members are entitled to up to $200 per year from Ngā Tahu if they contribute $200 themselves. So there is money coming from Ngā Tahu. And also Ngā Tahu aims to pay distributions each year through Ngā Tahu back out to whānau as well. There was a bit of a halt in distributions due to COVID, but yeah, pleased to announce they're starting up again from March next year. There's definitely money coming from a kind of central pot, which is the Ngā Tahu organisation, which is in the form of distributions and matched savings. In addition, Ngā Tahu actually pays some of the tax for our members and some of the fees as well. So it's always really just trying to make it, you know, easier for our members and just trying to, you know, make sure that pot of gold, I guess, is as much as it can be to help people achieve their goals, if that makes sense.
Sam, what would be the average profile then of those involved here? Are we talking young parents, older people, or parents who are literally setting up funds through whairawa for their tamariki mm-hmm. when they're born? Because that's interesting. Eh? If you put up $200 a year, which is about $4 a week, you're going to end up with $400 per year. Well, you know, by the time the kid's five, there's a couple of grand, and you can see how it can compound over time. So, the main profile of the members, can you shed some light there?
That's a very good point that you make. I mean, this is something that people need to be aware of as well, is you don't necessarily need to contribute, especially if you're talking about from a young age, you don't necessarily need to contribute a huge amount. You know, it all adds up over time, and you often find some of the members who have started out as very young tamariki, excuse me, $2,000 or $3,000, but without even realising, if you know what I mean, just from distributions and, you know, then maybe their parents, you know, just contributing what they can each year. And then, as I say, Ngā Tahu matches that up to $200 per year. But in terms of average or profile of our members, we do have quite a young membership base, which is probably a little bit different to KiwiSaver. You know, you don't have your newborn members, you know, signing up to KiwiSaver. But, you know, we do we've got a kids club, so we're very passionate about, producing some really tailored materials and getting our tamariki members into our kids club and starting to educate them. So their parents or even, you know, grandparents, aunties, uncles, you know, do a really good job of signing up their tamariki. There is the young membership base, but in saying that, though, we cover all different ages and as well. Like we have Kaumātua members as well, and, you know, we have middle-aged members. So it's across the spectrum, but we probably have a bit more of a tilt towards tamariki than other investment schemes.
Well, like I say, it was innovative when it was first mooted and then established. $125 million under management, too, is indicative of the diet that people have for financial services Māori that are easily understood. What would you say, as a guy who studies the economic landscape, Sam, about inflationary pressures on savings towards retirement, and also the comment that I started our conversation with, the Retirement Commission has pointed to some shortcomings in the way that we do prepare for later life. So a couple of things, the inflation on the base putia, maybe touch on that for a moment, and also the Retirement Commission's findings. Does that surprise you, and what might we do to alleviate some of the pressure that it was identified within their studies?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there are a couple of tough questions, though, and I will admit, I mean, I don't have a perfect answer, but I mean, for the first one, I mean, it's a fact, obviously, inflation's super high at the moment, and it is, you know, diminishing the putia that you have. You only have to kind of go to the the pump, don't you, to fill up your car and feel that pain. And obviously that flows on to retirement savings as well. I mean, you've got to prioritise having a roof over your head and being able to feed your, children, over saving for retirement. I mean, that's just the fact. But in saying that, as I was touching on earlier, I guess it's just reinforcing the fact that even just contributing a small amount to your investment scheme, even during kind of tough times like we have at the moment, it can be or is very beneficial over the long run. Even if it's just $5 here and there, if you can afford that, obviously we're at the whim of kind of investment markets as well, which have been quite volatile with high inflation as well. But it's just really enforcing just contribute what you can at the moment, and then hopefully more in the future as times get a little bit easier. And then you just really see that, as you mentioned, that benefit of kind of compounding over time. In terms of the retirement pensions findings, that's a hard one. I mean, there's no real easy answer. I don't think I touched on it earlier. I think one of the points of difference for us is that we target our young members, our very young members, Tamariki members, and with financial literacy type messaging. We actually develop kind of guides and materials that really speak to our members. It's not just obviously something that like you and I, Dale, would read isn't suitable for someone who's 5 years old. So we really tailor our material for them, and we're also a big believer of kind of the generational kind of benefits that has. That they can just pass down the kind of good financial literacy word across the different generations. I mean, I guess what I'm getting at is I think this sort of thing does take time. Naitahi set up the scheme in 2006 to try and address some of those kind of shortfalls or discrepancies that you see. And I think it has gone away to addressing it. I mean, I think we've solved the problem. But that's just a few comments. But, it's a challenging problem. I don't necessarily have a great answer to that. But, we're committed to kind of just continue to work with our whānau to kind of help address it. And, that's probably what I had to say on that.
It's been good talking with you. Sounds like it's going ahead really well, as was hoped. And I'm pleased that Ngaitahu people are benefiting from the foresight of those who set up the fund and saving opportunity all those years ago. Thanks very much for joining us on the program today, Sam. All the best to you and your whānau, mate. Kia ora te watu.
Thanks very much. See you later.